Your host Ryan Arie, and today we are going to be talking about The Boys season 5 episode 7, the penultimate episode of the entire series. I love this show. I haven't done breakdowns of it for the past couple years because Colton has, but like I started off with The Boys. It's one of the very first shows that we covered week to week. I think covering that show made me better at my job, has a special place in my heart, and it's one of the few times when I can say I think the show is way better than the comics. So we're going to be discussing that, and I got a little bit of membership housekeeping right now. I announced this yesterday, but our live watch party of the first X-Men movie is now going to be next Wednesday night on May 20th at 8 p.m. The link for that's already up on the channel. You just have to have your own way to watch X-Men. You can stream it or DVD or do it from memory. We're just going to talk and hang out and have different people and guests on to watch the movie along with you guys. Should be a lot of fun. And if you are one of our tier members, our $100 tier members for our memberships, we owe you guys a Q&A, a live stream. We've posted on the community page. Just respond and we'll work out a time. That little bit of housekeeping done. Let's now go bring on some of our panel members. Not everybody's even here yet. That's why we started late. So I'm pretty excited to get everybody on here at the same time. But we got a full house today. We are starting with Doug's attorney. You know him as Mr. Mike Mazzella. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, hey, what's going on? I am now a full-blown Homelander stan for the sole reason that he's getting rid of nut milks. No more nut milks. I'm on board.
Do you know almond milk has actually been around for hundreds of years? And it used to be incredibly expensive.
I did not know that,
expensive.
And I don't care because I hate almond milk and I hate cashew milk. I'm actually deathly allergic to tree nuts, so this is personal.
Oh, anytime well, it'll kill you.
I walk into a coffee shop, I got to be like, hey, can you change the milk frother? And it's really annoying. Why are we doing
really?
This, folks? Okay?
You're nut that
milks
allergic?
Are so water inefficient. Okay, you know how much water it takes to grow an almond just to turn it into milk? A lot.
Yeah, not to mention the poor people who have
water.
To milk the almonds. That's crazy. So that would be like,
I mean,
your idea.
They do it just
job.
For fun. They do it for the love of the game. They don't even get paid to do that. And the almonds.
Oh, I didn't even know that. You know, there's like some rooms in Thailand where guys pay big money to go in and milk an almond. And coming up next, you guys know him as the co-host. Well, I mean, I've heard it. I don't know for sure. I've
never sure. Yeah. A friend of yours.
A friend of mine went to Thailand, has that story. Definitely. And you guys know our next guest from here on Screen Crush Rewind, frequent guest, and also the host of the Comic Book Club podcast. We've got Mr. Alex Zalbin. What's going on, Alex?
Not much. I'm very excited to talk about this show. I'm a big fan of it also. I know there's been like a lot of controversy, a lot of negativity about this final season, but I got to be honest, I think what Lena Dunham is doing is really amazing. Allison Williams has been great. Zosia Madnick has been great.
Absolutely.
It's just really beautiful work across.
Adam Driver really shines.
Oh, so good.
And
so
I'll tell you, very controversial to end it the way they did, but it really bothered me that on a first year professor salary, she buys a giant house upstate that overlooks the Hudson. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Oh my gosh.
I just realized.
We're
that too,
talking
that.
About the wrong show. Our girls.
Girls.
No, I thought we were here to talk about girls today. Things. I actually am. I finally finished it last night. I'd never finished. I love that show, man. I think she's
girls.
Great.
Girls
she's
is
such
a great
good
show.
Writer. Great show. Great show.
Never
I don't know why I stopped watching it, but then I started back and great. Anyways, we are going to talk. The Boys, episode 7, but we have at least two more guests come, at least one more guest. We're hoping for two. I'm not sure where our friend Colton is, but right here we've got, you know him as all from all over our channels. You know him from our socials, from our Discord channel. He doesn't have a cute, fun nickname yet, but the co-writer on all of our Boys episodes this season, Mr. Ethan Ng. What's going on, Ethan?
Not much. I'm sad but excited that there's one episode left. I really love The Boys. At one point, I think I would have called it a top three show for me, but that was like early seasons. And I agree, Alex, with a lot of the stuff that you said about there's some controversies, but it's The Boys, you know. I'm still having fun with the show. Even one episode left.
Okay, and Ethan, once again, your mic is just a tad hot. If you can take that down just a squeak for us, I really appreciate that. While he's doing that, I haven't really followed any online discourse because I've remained behind everybody on this show. I don't know if you guys have paid attention, but the last 6 weeks for Screen Crush have been absolutely crazy. Between Daredevil, we're covering four shows a week, plus movies, plus all the other stuff we do. So I'm finally caught up, and I'm curious what I want to hear from each of you individually. We'll start with Mike. What have you thought about, before we get into this episode, this season so far?
I think the season is a different tone. It's definitely a shift. I've read the criticism online and I got to give some credence to it. A lot of the criticism that I've read is that it is way too much exposition, way too much story and dialogue, not enough action. I happen to like story and dialogue. I think these are really compelling characters, so I don't mind that so much. I do agree there could be a little bit more action in this season. The other big criticism of it is that people are saying it feels like this season is just a big setup for Vought Rising, that they keep referencing all of Elder Soups. They had that episode where they went to the facility. They keep bringing up Clara. I do think that's true in some respect, that it is kind of, it almost feels like Kripke's like, ah, yeah, you know, this thing's over. We're on to the next thing. Let's get everybody really hyped and excited for the next thing. But I think there's another reason. I think they keep bringing up Stormfront because I think maybe there's a chance she's going to pop up in the finale. Just that line from Jensen Ackles that was like, did you see a body? I'm like, oh, you know, I don't know why they would have put that in there. Because and it is true. You never see a body. She supposedly killed herself at that time. Stan Edgar was still in charge of Vought. So who knows? Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a mecha Stormfront somewhere that's going to show up in the finale. I don't know.
Or, and by mecha Stormfront, you mean like a mechanical Stormfront and not a Stormfront in the Middle East.
Not like Grok mecha Hitler. Not that. No.
Okay. Got it.
Although, I mean, it is Stormfront. So yeah, she is kind of like that.
Do you think she's going to end up being Homelander's mom? A lot of speculation on that.
I really do think that. We know that Homelander killed his birth mother in childbirth, but they used Soldier Boy's sperm to artificially inseminate her. Who's to say they didn't also harvest an egg from Stormfront and use that?
But if that
is true, I don't know that they would reveal it in this finale. I feel like it might be revealed in Vought Rising, and then it's kind of like a thing at the end of Vought Rising that we're all like, but that means
I don't know, Mike. I think that's kind of like I watched Jane die. If you know, you know. I'm not going to spoil what show that's from, but it's kind of like that, where if they're going to have that revelation and they don't have Stormfront fly in and say, hello, son. I mean, like, I don't know. There's some messed up stuff there. And I can almost see Stormfront, you know, who's a Nazi, being not minding, like if she knew the whole time that was her kid, but because of her pure bloodline thing, like the Targaryen, she wants to keep it in the family. I'm trying to not say the I word because I don't want to get demonetized. I'm dancing around it as much as I can.
But you're right.
She gets monetized in other places.
She is a eugenicist, right? So like she says that Homelander is the perfect person and whatever. You remember in season two when they were like doing that, or maybe it was the beginning of season three when she was in the bed, but she said something like, you are like the perfect man or something, or like you will lead a whole army of the master race. And then Homelander is like, I'm the master. He was like, I'm not like a Nazi, I'm not a white supremacist, I'm a Homelander supremacist.
Yeah.
He's different from all those others.
Yeah.
Alex, we're stepping on Alex's. Kind of okay, Mike, finish your thought.
Oh, no. So all of that was a very long-winded way of saying I actually like this season. I understand the criticism that people have for it, but I am expecting a very big and great finale. People put a lot of pressure on finales, and we have all loved shows and watched horrible finales. I was a Lost fan. Okay. I've been through it. Mm-hmm. I am tempering my expectations, but I am still optimistically very hopeful for a great finale to this show. And as we talk, I will go through my bucket list for what I want to see.
I love it. All right. Go ahead, Alex. Sorry.
I love this season, actually. I think it's great. And every online thing that I've seen where people say this is terrible, talking about filler episodes and everything that we already talked about here, I feel totally out of step with the conversation because it feels as sharp and on point as it has ever been. I mean, we've had so many moments like the whole thing with Trump posting himself as AI Jesus, and then 2 days later, I want to say, that happening on the show, then Trump making a golden statue, and then a golden statue of Homelander shows up on the show. It's wild. It's absolutely wild how they've done this, and they've been absolutely on point without admittedly trying to be, because they wrote this, 2 years ago, something like that?
They predicted the future.
Yeah.
Kripke put out a statement in so many ways.
It's crazy. Yeah. But even beyond that...
If you think there's some kind of parallel between the president and Homelander, I don't really see what you're talking about.
Right, no.
I
don't
get what you're talking about at all.
The point, though, is that I think that less than being like Simpsons did it about it, it is them being very dialed in with what America is and what it's about and what they're trying to say about it. And lifting up the conversation to talk about religion and really dive into it, I saw a really interesting, and I can't give credit because I don't remember who was doing this interview, so I'm sorry, but Kripke was asked, do you like religion or some variation there? And he said,
showrunner Eric Kripke.
Yeah, showrunner Eric Kripke, that, yeah, I do. And he does believe in religion that, and I'm very much paraphrasing here, but what he's trying to say with the season is faith is important, but it gets corrupted by people who want to use it for other things. And I think the theme is coming through really, really strongly throughout the season. It's also funny, it's crass, it's profane, it's made me laugh out loud multiple times. And just to talk about like the vaunt rising of it all, I definitely is feeling that a little bit, but just to give a more generous interpretation, which I don't know is true or not, I wonder if it's the same thing as when they use the soup virus from Gen V, where that felt less like, ah, they already did it there, so let's do it here as well, so much as, ooh, that's a cool idea, let's run with that. And knowing that had all these Vaunt Rising ideas, maybe they put them in the season less to set up Vaunt Rising than, oh, Bombsite is cool. All of this stuff about Vaunt and the backstory of Soldier Boy, we can use to make him a more textured character rather than just being like, whatever he's saying, I'm not going to say it here on the stream because I don't want you to be demonetized about Sherry Lewis or things like that. Like, the character before this was just the level of sex joke, sex joke, sex joke. They made him much deeper and more interesting here, and that ultimately makes Vaunt Rising better, sure, but it also makes the boys season we're watching now better
as
well. And yes,
while you're on the topic of Soldier Boy, I want to ask you this, because I've seen this online too. Some people are saying that his romantic entanglement with Stormfront somehow retcons his relationship with Crimson Countess, in that, you know, he's this kind of playboy, he sleeps with a lot of celebrities and people and just has all these one night stands. But then he seems to be like, but Clara, I actually really loved Clara. Mm-hmm. She's the only person I ever loved. But he was with Crimson Countess for like 30 years. I don't necessarily think those two things are incompatible, but a lot of people are saying that. What do you think?
No, I think you can write story around that in a million different ways. I mean, like you're saying, he loved Clara. Maybe Clara broke his heart. He ended up with Crimson Countess and he was just kind of with her. You know, that's
Clara was probably his first love too.
Exactly. I mean,
it's probably the kind of thing where he never got over her. And right. Maybe the Crimson Countess was, you know, like a Holly, like an old Hollywood marriage too, where they
lying. Pair people, you know, together. These characters lie all the time about absolutely anything. So maybe his gruff exterior hides a soft, sweet, gooey interior, you know, like candy bars.
Ethan, what do you think? Sorry, we're gabbing away. We saw the season so far.
I'm maybe a little bit different on this perspective. I don't outright hate this season. I think a lot of the discourse surrounding it has been a little overblown, has been a little bit like just people dogpiling. I think this is a great season of The Boys, but it's a terrible last season. Like it feels like we're one episode away from the finale, and there are a lot of storylines to tie up, and that's okay to tie it up in spinoff shows if you want. But like, I don't feel the immediacy of a finale right now. Like, I think, I just think it feels like the end of a season and not the end of a series, if that makes sense. I dislike a lot of the Vaunt Rising stuff, I'm going to be honest. I think, because, like, making allusions to the past, of course, like, very interesting. I thought the episode 4 hospital rage, like, bit was really interesting. But then doing a whole episode about Bombsite and then they resolve... Bombsite and Soldier Boy resolve their conflict in that episode. So anything that happens in Vaunt Rising, I'm just not going to care about anymore. I know how that relationship resolves at the end of.
Well, wait, when does Vaunt Rising take place?
It's going to take place in the 1950s. It's a prequel series.
Right. Why? So, but it's way before Homelander, though. So, you know.
Of course. But I'm saying, like, these two characters hate each other, and we get that in their dialogue. But now, when they hate each other in that show, I'm always going to know that they make up for some reason in the present day timeline.
But so what if that show starts with them loving each other and they get along and they're fast friends, and then
possible.
We have to wonder why do they end up hating each other?
The other aspect,
I would imagine that's going to be true. It's like the Better Call Saul of it all. How did he get from this to that? I don't know.
The other aspect of this is, like, we're putting a lot of emphasis on Clara, and if she doesn't appear in the finale, if Stormfront doesn't appear in that finale, I'm going to feel like a lot of that was wasted potential. Because it's like, the whole Soldier Boy giving V1 to Homelander was a big reveal, and it spits in the face of what Sage thought was going to happen. And I understand mm-hmm. that characters make different decisions for love, but if we don't see that character or feel any of that love yet, you know, we haven't seen Vault Rising yet. It's a lot of show don't tell in that regard.
Do you guys actually think that Homelander loves Stormfront?
No.
Homelander
only loves Homelander.
Homelander's never loved anyone.
Not even Madeline Stillwell. I mean, because it is weird. He did have this relationship with Stormfront where he visited her in the hospital. He didn't have to do that. You know, he's got these little breaks where, you know.
Well, it wasn't in the hospital. He had her charred body in his room. I read that more as a trophy than I care about her. I went to go visit her.
Like Soldier Boy.
I don't think Homelander loved her. I think he respected her, and he respects very few people. And the reason why he respected her is because she was tough enough to stand up to him. The same type of affinity that he felt for the Legend last episode and why he let him leave is that he went, oh, you're not afraid of me. That's crazy. Like, almost no one is not afraid of me.
Oh, yeah.
And plus, he helped him. He didn't realize he was helping him, but he gave him the means, and he kind of gave him a reward.
Yeah, it's always going to be about Homelander and always going to come back to Homelander. I think throughout the show, they've shown him experimenting with the idea of empathy, being like, oh, it'd be interesting if I hung out with my son. What would happen? But it ultimately comes back to what his son thinks of him. He's going to dress his son as a little version of him. And when that doesn't work, he's like, get out of here. Same thing happened with Soldier Boy this last episode, just with a speed run of basically the Ryan storyline, where he showed him the theme park that he was going to build about him. What was it? Soldier Boy, Father of God, was the part of Homeland.
And then
he shows him the costume, which is exactly in his Homelander colors, and Soldier Boy immediately nopes out to go to Bogota and snort blow off of hookers or whatever he was going to do. So that's when Homelander's like, nope, I'm going to turn you once again into a trophy. He puts him in the chokehold. He puts him back in cryostasis.
I hope he's dreaming that he's in Bogota doing a bunch of cocaine.
You just want him to be happy.
Well, I think he's going to die. I mean, I think he's going to die next episode.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Homelander?
This actually gets into one of the other things that I think is tying, not to spend too much time talking about how the fans are reacting to the season. But I think there's a difference between what people expected from this last season and what they're getting. And those two things always run against each other. Specifically, Kripke talked about, like, this would be, you know, you'd get character deaths all the time. And we did. We got A-Trader the first episode. We get Frenchie at the end of this episode. There's a big character deaths. We've had...
Yeah, which reminds me, I guess I should say, spoiler alert. It's, you know... Anyways, we've got
boystery.
I was joking
about all of that. That none of that happened. No, but we've had like lots of big character deaths that have happened, but it hasn't been. And I don't know how many people necessarily who watch The Boys have read the comics, but I do think the idea of what happens in the comics, where it is these enormous battle scenes on the lawn of the White House, you have Supes versus humans. The Boys have Compound V, and they're powered up. That all happens in the comic. And then the other thing, which at this point I think everybody expected, and there was some fake leaks that came out that implied this would happen in the last couple of episodes, that now I actually hope doesn't happen in any fashion, is Butcher becomes the final big bad of the Boys because the Boys themselves have Compound V. So after they've taken care of Homelander, he says, oh, we got to wipe all of that off the earth. So he becomes the final villain. I think people coming into the season expected that to happen. That's what they thought was going to happen. And that's not the direction they're going. They're laudably, I think, softening Butcher, recentering him. I thought the stuff with Butcher and Huey in this last episode
really
good, refinding the connection between them. And we could still get that turn in the final moments in the season finale, and that's fine. But we're not getting the last two episodes, everybody versus Butcher. We're not getting every character exploding into bloody goops necessarily. And that's okay. This is the story they want to tell, and that's what we're watching.
I think if they were going to do that heel turn, they definitely set the stepping stones for it. Because like this episode, you said this is a softer Butcher. I don't know, man. When he cut Synapse in half, he said, I love doing this. And that look that Huey gave him that was just kind of like, oh, God, he means that. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think they could. And, And the comics, you know, remember, like, there's a twist in the comics involving Black Noir they're just not doing in the show, which is fine. But in the comics, like you said, Alex, they all have Compound V, so they're all Supes. And after they methodically kill, they kill individually every Sup in existence. Butcher wipes the rest of them out. He tries to kill Huey at the end. Like, that's his ending, because he thinks, well, we have to take out all the Supes, including us. So maybe his noble end could be, no, I'm going to wipe myself out. And, you know, well, we'll get to finale predictions in a second, but there's no guarantee that, like, Annie and Kimiko still have powers at the end of the season.
Yeah, I think one of the big differences between this show versus the comic books, and mind you, I like the comic books, is the comic books are nihilistic, because that's how Garth Ennis, the writer, writes. That's how he creates things. He comes at it from a negative perspective. Eric Kripke does not. I think he made that very clear all the way back in the first season, where it seemed like they were going to do straightforward The Boys, but then it became something kinder and about trying to find hope in a hopeless situation. Maybe this is tying too many things
together. Which is what episode 7 is about.
Exactly. I was going to call out what Starlight says, which I wrote it down somewhere. I'm paraphrasing here, but she talks about how do we save people when they don't want to be saved? And that to me points to exactly what this finale most likely will be about, is them figuring out how to do that, whether it's saving themselves, saving who they can save, like the people they take out of the focus group in this episode and get over to the Gen V kids. Ultimately, it's a more positive show. It's not about Butcher wiping everybody out or the wiping out Butcher, because that's a bummer. And I don't think that's where we're headed necessarily.
I appreciated the finale, even in that. Okay, so the scene with, I forget the character's name all of a sudden. Negan's, you know, the character that Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays. Kessler, thank you. The scene where he comes in and is able to voice, and it's crazy because it's like the first time other people get to see Kessler, right? And that he's voicing Butcher's past, and we're learning about a lot of this for the first time, and Butcher's actually knowing that his dark side is finally exposed, was an incredible scene. And the fact that we went from that pathos to also having Huey really struggle with his Billy Joel top five. And I love just the verbal wordplay there with all of his titles. I mean, it's dumb sitcom comedy, but I love
that
it.
That was, you know, really good. You may be right. It was very funny.
I loved
funny.
It. And it got me every time. He probably could have worked in Uptown Girl, and I would have been like, what? Oh, no, it's a song. It's a Billy Joel song, right? Why wasn't there a fire in the scene? So Huey could have said, we didn't start. But it's interesting to hear all this, because I've watched the season and I'm completely detached from all the commentary. I'm loving it so far. It's exactly where I thought it was going to go. I think the finale is likely to be 2 hours long, or at least an hour and a half if they're putting it in theaters. So let's get to that. What do you guys think, before we talk about Gen V and some other stuff and those kids, but what do you think is going to happen in the finale? Ethan, you want to go first?
I think instead of killing all the heroes with V, I was thinking about this. They now have, we're assuming that the transplant into Kimiko worked, right? I think either so many characters are going to die, or at the very least, they'll depower Homelander or kill Homelander, and then Kimiko will fry the V out of Annie's body, or something like that, out of Starlight's body. And they'll start to go trying to eliminate Supes through that lens, instead of just straight up killing them like Butcher does, trying to depower them. And maybe that puts them into conflict with Butcher. That's another aspect of this that I'm not sure of, is like, is this the last time we're going to see these characters? Because this is the ending of The Boys, but they're very obviously going to keep doing the VCU, now it's called, like shows or anything.
I love
parody, irony, you know, full circle. So, like, will we see Carl Urban come back as Butcher? I don't even know if I want that. It's been so long that he's on this character, you know? Yeah. Like, does he become the villain? I'm not sure. I'm partially disappointed about the use of Gen V in this season. I know that was brought up for a second. They kind of only came in at the end, and it's like, I wouldn't want a spinoff show's characters to come in and solve the problem of the main show. But also, then why did you tease them? Shouldn't they have showed up a little earlier or been around in a few other scenes?
Marie's, I mean, they actually say it. Aren't you like the chosen one or something? It's teased that, hey, she could be one of the people to kill Homelander. She can do head popping and stuff. I agree. You can't have a character from another show come in and solve all the problems in this show. but it is very, I don't know. It seemed very much like the Cosby Show crossing over with a different world and not really acknowledging it, you know?
Mm-hmm. I do feel like, just to jump in on that Gen V of it all, it will be disappointing. I mean, we don't need to have like a portal scene or anything like that, but it will be disappointing if we don't have, at the very least, Marie come in at the end and help them out. Like you guys are saying, she can't do the killing blow on Homelander because that's not satisfying when you're watching the boys, but using her blood powers to hold him back at one point while other people tell it. That's good. And nothing against the rest of the kids. I love them. I think they're awesome. I would love to see more of them. But I really think, just in terms of plot and economy, Marie is the only one that really needs to come in this last episode. Mm-hmm. But if they all do pull up in a van, in their mystery van or whatever, that's awesome.
And maybe we could have a thing where she does try to pop Homelander's head, but it doesn't work because now he's got the V1 in the system, right? That could be good.
And that gets to the big thing that I think has to happen, that everybody sort of knows will happen, even though, not to get online again, I've seen rumors going in the opposite direction, which seems insane to me. Homelander has to die. Like, that is 100% to the end of the show. I saw something where they're like, what if Homelander lives? And I feel like the only slim possibility is somehow he gets stuck in Sage's bunker because they brought it up, and he gets to be the person that spends the rest of his life alone because he's all about Homelander. But that's not satisfying. We need to see him get hurt. We need to see his face melt off, get ripped to pieces, definitively 100% dead. You look unsure.
I kind of want to.
I disagree, but
that.
Hold on, Ethan. Before you chime in there, we got Colton in the house. The guy who's trapped in our TV. Hey. Doesn't know, so please don't tell him. What's going on, Colton?
Nothing. I've been here the whole time. Why have I not been there?
Sorry. I guess we didn't add you in. We'll get to Colton. We'll let you give your thoughts on the season so far in just a second. Ethan, go ahead and finish your thought for us.
I do think that Homelander living is okay, but he definitely needs to be depowered or killed. Because then that brings into a thing of like, Homelander is such an egotistical character. What's worse than death? Being human. Mm. Being forced to live like the weaklings that he so hates. And then, you know, I don't think we need to see the character again, even if he is depowered. I think they've had the run, but like that always keeps the avenue open, keeps the door open for the character.
I think he gets depowered in the end. But Colton, what do you think? What's your prediction for Homelander in the finale?
I personally agree with Ethan. It is a far bigger insult, I think, to Homelander, who, yes, is obsessed with immortality and fears death. But I think him becoming a mortal and then getting death because he's just no longer immortal, die of old age. I think that's a far better punishment for Homelander. It's kind of like that death penalty argument. Like, well, some people say, you know, they're in favor of the death penalty for a really heinous crime. But then there's the argument of, well, that's kind of an easy way out. I think you can make the argument for Homelander that it would be a far greater punishment to have to live out the rest of his days as a mortal, aging. His pubes get grayer. We know that he has an issue with that. I think that'd be a far bigger punishment. Having said that, I could see them doing like a little bit of a twist where he is depowered by Soldier Boy. And then like Butcher is about to like go just ham on Homelander with a crowbar or something. Kind of like what we see in the comics, except for with the Black Noir, like, spoiler for the comics, by the way, but Black Noir is a clone of Homelander. And he, like, if I'm remembering right, he, like, digs his brain out of his skull or something. It's really nasty. And I would love to see Butcher have the opportunity to do that to Homelander. And maybe they, like, tease that's about to happen. But then, like, Soldier Boy, Starlight, somebody step in and be like, nah, nah, we're going to. And then they put him in the cryo chamber or something like that. Mm. And then that does leave it open for them to bring him back sometime. I think that there's definitely going to be more boys shows that take place after this.
I completely disagree. I think there's no way that Homelander survives. I think there's no way that Butcher would ever be okay with them putting him in solitary confinement, even if he's depowered and he's going to age and it's more of a torture or whatever. It's not about that for Butcher. For Butcher, it's purely about killing him to get revenge for what he did to Becca. I think that the killing blow on Homelander is maybe a double shot from Butcher and from Ryan, that the two of them take him out. But I think maybe in order to get him into that weakened state, the way that they use Marie Moreau, because she has to have something to do, but not the ultimate thing, they established in Gen V season two that she can sense the V in people's blood. Maybe she can isolate it and extract it.
Yes.
Maybe she can take, like, you know, let's say the thing with Kimiko doesn't work. They need to find another way to get the V1 out of Homelander. Maybe Marie Moreau can, like, literally draw it out of him and depower him if that's even possible. And then they can mess him up. But I think for my prediction, like, overall for the finale, for who needs to die, I think everyone needs to die by certain people's hands. It needs to be cathartic. The Deep needs to be killed by Starlight. Soldier Boy needs to be killed by Mother's Milk, maybe with the help of Marie Moreau. Butcher and possibly Ryan need to kill Homelander. And I want Queen Maeve to come back, even if she's just there watching and laughing while it happens. Like, right. I just want her there. Who's to say she didn't get her powers back, right? Like, Kimiko got blasted by Soldier Boy, lost her powers temporarily, and then they came back.
If who's Homelander
is going to happen for Maeve?
If Homelander loses his powers, then a depowered Maeve could just come kick his ass. There is no way.
That would be hysterical. If Homelander, because the other thing too that we know is that Anthony Starr is not built like that in real life. Like, the suit, the Homelander suit is fake muscles, right?
Yeah.
So if he loses his powers, he takes off the suit, he's this scrawny dude, and then Maeve comes in and just starts beating the shit out of him. Oh my God. Amazing.
Girls got it done.
Girls really do get it done. Alex, what do you think?
Oh, I was just going to say, on the whole Homelander growing old thing, I think the absolute funniest possibility is if they do the 6 feet under ending, where you just zoom in through everybody's lives and you see how they eventually die. And just, 50 years later, Homelander looking at the sunset and his pubes and passing away peacefully. but I do think we're forgetting about a character in this discussion, which is Huey, and in terms of what's going to happen with him. And I do feel like there's a not outside possibility.
That was the last one.
Who does he kill?
I think Huey kills O-Father, because somebody has to kill O-Father, and there's not really anybody left for him.
You don't think Ashley eats O-Father with her little back mouth or something?
I don't want to think about that imagery.
I don't know, man. It's the boys. I feel like there's a not outside possibility not like that Huey kills Homelander, because if we're talking, like we're talking about, like, if the ultimate insult is Homelander becoming human, becoming mortal, having the most mortal guy on the show take him out, even though I don't know what that would necessarily do emotionally to Huey, might be a way things could go.
I think that spits in the face, though, of this whole journey that Huey has been on. If, like, he started with, I don't want blood on my hands, and then he gets blood on his hands and he becomes more brutal, and then he goes back, okay, I'm going to work with Newman and not have blood on my hands anymore. Then he gets pulled right back into it. And then now this season, he is once again trying to, like, be that, you know, clean, no blood on my hands guy. I think Huey is the one who would be more likely to be like, no, let's not kill Homelander. Let's just put him in jail, like, after he's depowered or something. And I just wanted to say, on the discussion of Butcher getting to beat the hell out of Homelander, I hope we get to see just, like, a look of fear on Homelander's face for really the first time in the series, when he realizes, without my powers, I am nothing. And this Butcher guy is about to make meat of me, so to speak.
Can I throw this out there? If Butcher does, I personally like the idea of Butcher losing his powers. I think it's a lot more poetic. If somebody just defeats him in combat, it kind of proves Homelander's ideology that only the strong survive and we are the master super race and things like that. But if he loses his powers, then he's forced to become what he hates. It's like Magneto in X-Men Last Stand. But if Homelander lost his powers, the first thing he would do is get a hold of some Compound V. And we would know, maybe they want to leave it open if he's in jail at the end of it. Maybe they want to leave it open and say, well, yeah, but he could always get Compound V and come back. I think we should see him get Compound V, but it gives him one of those terrible powers that he looks down on, you know, because he doesn't just hate humans. Remember, like, the guy who was like Daredevil, and he went, what if I do this? And he, you know, broke the guy's eardrums. Like, he hates soups like that. And so did Godalkin. You know, there's, like, this almost racism within the soup community, you know?
He just gets a giant nutsack. That's his superpower.
Exactly. Yeah. But I kind of think that is a lot to happen. Like, oh, I lost my power. Like, I'm ass kicked. Oh, I mean, you know, somebody sneaks Compound V into a cell, and the last scene is he turns into a teddy bear.
Another possibility, just to sort of bounce off of this, is it could just be a group of regular people kill him, you know, because the other part of the problem isn't just Homelander. It's like we were talking about with the Starlight quote from this episode, from episode 7. It's the world. And that is something in our real world we can't necessarily bridge, but in the fake world of the boys, a potential solution is you got to figure out a way to turn the Homelanders against Homelander. And if he ultimately ends up, something happens there, and he ultimately ends up getting killed by them, like a group just kicks the crap out of him.
I don't think that's going to happen. I'll tell you why. It's because Homelander, at least in this Kripke's vision of him, is modeled after Trump. And there's nothing that is going to change those people's minds. Like, I don't think that even them seeing the Flight 37 video did not change anyone's minds. I do not think
there was one thing that changed their minds, though. There was one thing in this episode, and this is where I think they'll find, and I hope they address this, right? Again, we talked about predicting the future earlier. When they put everybody in the room and they just don't believe and they start to try to kill them and Starlight saves them, then they see it in person. It's not like they were on the airplane. They can believe it was a deep fake. And I think, I really hope that they take the overarch of the season, which is Homelander trying to usurp religion and belief in God, as like the one thing that finally cuts into it. That's where I think that that's where they should go with it, because otherwise,
if it takes people seeing it with their own eyes, how do you do that? You know, how do you get everyone in the country, everyone in the world to see it with their own eyes?
No, no, no. They don't. I'm not saying they literally have to see things with their own eyes, right? Like there's live broadcast, doesn't matter, right? For me, it's more about the point of religion being the thing that ultimately, like, you know, I grew up in a really conservative area, and if Homelander were real, this would, like, it'd be a non-starter. They would immediately look at him and say, well, that's the Antichrist. That's literally in the book of Revelation. And I think that, and if this world wants would to have credence as a mirror to our world, no, they would. They would. But anyways, go ahead.
I don't know, man, because I thought the same, not to get political, I thought the same thing about...
I'm not talking about the real world. I'm talking about this dude flying around who suddenly makes a TV spot saying that he is the new Jesus, right? Like, that's... pretty directly from like the common belief in the book of Revelation. Yeah. That's where, I mean, we're talking about bucket list for the finale. That's what I'm hoping happens in the finale.
Yeah. I mean, there is another guy who kind of pretends he's Jesus. I don't know.
Builds golden idols to himself.
No idea what you're talking about. I'm not clicking up on any of the political parallels you guys. Kevin Ethan, you've been awful quiet. What's going on?
I wanted to say that, like, for a seeing is believing thing, that would be an interesting, for what Mike was talking about, that would be an interesting way to fold back in the media aspect of this show, because I think that is a little bit lost in these last few seasons. It is a political commentary. I don't hate any of the political commentary going on, but remember that first, like, season, the whole, like, soups and the first episode where Huey sees the soup world around him in the city is like, I always loved when this show was commenting on the media and Hollywood and, like, trends within actors. So you could maybe do, like, a thing where, like, the final battle is recorded. And, you know, in a media age, like, anything that Homelander has, like, hid himself in that tower so that he can avoid any controversy. And if there is controversy, he just spins it a different way, right? But in a final battle against, like, Starlight trying to save people, Huey trying to save people, and then while Butcher holds Homelander back, that would be an interesting way to show everyone that, like, these are the real heroes. These are the people that are doing things.
I have a really terrible thing to pitch on the back of that, that I don't like this idea. But thinking about media manipulation, the guys and the boys aren't good at that. The characters who are good at that are the characters from Gen V. So being like, you guys got to get on TikTok and tell the truth about Homelander. Yeah.
But guys, that whole video of them fighting on the White House lawn, that's just an AI deepfake thing. That's not
Now, that's the other aspect
so
of this.
So many of these, though, too. Remember when Starlight literally, like, went live with the phone in her hand when Homelander was chewing her out? And then he just got to be like, haha, we're rehearsing lines. Like, the people that are true diehard Homelander fans are never going to change their love for Homelander, no matter what they see or hear, even with their own eyes and their own ears.
I tend to agree with you on that. Like, I think it would almost take him literally halfway through ripping their head off for them to be like, oh,
like, no, he really means this.
But I also, I mean, to kind of get back to what Ryan was talking about, this, the theme of this season really is like God and religion, Homelander wanting to be God. And this would offend a lot of people, but the boys has never strayed away, you know, from offending or, you know, going over the top. We could have, like, a, you know, if dude wants to be Jesus, if you've read the Bible, you know what happens to Jesus. They could we could see his followers kind of be like,
oh, and then he gets martyred, and then they double down their belief.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they take a total left turn and literal God comes down and is like, blasphemy.
Honestly, I'll just say it. I could see the boys literally doing the imagery of putting him on a cross or something, mm-hmm. like it, yeah. killing him. I could see the finale ending that way.
Well, and how poetic would it be if he's exposed, but the religion continues afterwards? You know, this cult of Homelander. Yeah. Exactly. Alex.
I was just going to bring up one thing that this ties into. Like, one of my big questions about the season, and I don't know if I'm the only one here, but the Madeline Stilwell coming as an angel of God scene bothers me. Like, and it bothers me in the way of, not like I hate it so much as it feels like a level of unreality the boys has never really hit before. And it sort of perks up my, like, did that really happen? Was he imagining that? Was there another soup that caused him to do that? So to go into this, if it is revealed to the, exactly. Well, but if it's revealed in the finale that somebody crafted and created that Madeline Stilwell vision to make him do all that stuff, that completely undercuts everything he believes.
Well, and that's that would tie in with the finale, because didn't he think in the tie in with the comics, doesn't he think in the comics that he did all the stuff that the clone did and he just doesn't remember?
Yeah. That's what I mean. The clone does that to drive him crazy, to unsettle him and stuff. A few super chats here that are really interesting that are tying in with what we're saying. So first one of the day was $5 from Brenner273, says best punishment for Homelander is not only losing his powers, but then Hughie beating the crap out of him, which we've talked about. Yeah. Christian Ford is asking when the Q&A will take place or where. Zoom, right? That makes sense. Like on the membership page, if you have access to the top tier membership, we'll send a Zoom link. We just need confirmation of when to do it, because there's only, last time I checked, two members of that tier. So you guys got to let us know. I don't know how else to get in touch with you. But we really want to. I'm looking forward to that. Diego gave us 50 pesos and said, joining late, asked me to come to Mexico. I'll be right there. Christian Ford gave us another $4. Thanks so much. And El Jamari gave us $5 and said, been a great season. It's the theme of cults failing. The only minus is the lack of Gen V, but MCU shows are hard to incorporate it's hard to incorporate spinoffs into the main story. Yeah, it has been clunky this season, how they've incorporated Gen V. It's much easier on Gen V to incorporate Starlight and the rest of the world, but I don't know. I don't, unless you go ahead and reintroduce these characters on The Boys, which has a big enough cast, I don't see what else you could do apart from giving them like a little head nod.
I mean, Gen V is a great show, but I'm still not sure that it was a great idea to have it be such a, like, kind of bit of crucial information to, like, watch The Boys. And I think The Boys does a pretty good job, I think, at providing enough well-done exposition to kind of fill in those gaps. And I wish I could see it through the lens of somebody who hasn't seen Gen V, so I could kind of know, like, what the reaction is, if you're just watching The Boys, like, when this Marie Moreau character shows up. Like, what is that like for that person?
Especially with Sister Sage, you kind of get the feeling you've missed an episode.
Yes.
Do you guys recall in the recaps for The Boys episodes, do they include Gen V footage? I don't think they do.
Yeah, they do. I actually when I was watching this one that they did, that they had shots of Marie and the others from that. And then I think they also had a shot of Sage and Godolkin like in bed together or something like that.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, that's good. Brad Gamble gave us $10. Thanks so much. Huge fan of you all, daily listener. Thank you for your hard work. I feel this episode didn't do enough to set up a proper finale, but I have hope. Hope Homelander loses his powers in the end. Seems like that's a popular theory for everybody. And Jordan Enrico gave us $2 and said the peak survives another episode. I think he meant the deep. And then we're caught up on Super Bowl. And then Christian Ford has a great question I'll get to in just a second. Go ahead, Colton.
I don't think Deep dies. I mean, as much as I would enjoy Starlight killing him, I don't think she'll do it. And I think they're setting up Deep to maybe have a little bit of a face turn. And I think he survives. I think Deep surprisingly survives the series.
He's eaten by fish. I think the fish kill him. After what he did to the Tilda Swinton octopus, he's got to go.
Yeah.
I mean, he could stay alive, but I don't see him taking a heel turn. I could see him ending up in somehow an even worse situation, maybe trying to keep the cult of Homelander going after Homelander's death. And there's like three people in a basement. That's pretty much it.
And he offers them a Fresca.
I don't know. I think he's pissed.
That would be great.
Mike, deep cut back to season two. I love that. That's great.
I'm just still curious about that. What happened to the Church of the Collective? Did it just
it lost their leader? Like, so probably somebody
just disbanded.
They were kind of like an anti-Vought soup organization. So
we
I
see
imagine
that Eagle the Archer is back in the fold with Vought now. So yeah. I mean, maybe he's
he's not
that church.
He's doing a that is a Vought show.
But he was a toxic person.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The other guy is doing the Vought like knockoff movies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mr. Marathon, yeah.
Mr. Marathon.
It's so funny that they said that it was Sony Pictures Television.
That was like, because
really obviously, like, this show is made by Sony, but also it seems like a direct attack on the Sony's Spider something to do with
Spider-Man. Oh, it 100% was.
The writers, though.
So funny.
And Seth Rogen being in the room, too, and he's a producer on the show and making fun of himself.
So
like, I loved all that, you know? I got to say, though, this ranks for me. This is the show is like the kind of adaptation I love. Where I read the source material because I love Garth Ennis, love Derek Robertson, but it just, it was fine. It was basically called, it could have been called Garth Ennis hates writing superhero comics. And he like takes 60 issues to show his catharsis for it. It's got moments in it that I absolutely love, but for the most part, I thought it was like a lesser Garth Ennis work. This show takes that basic premise. And I think the pilot of the show, if you go back and watch it, is just incredible. Like it sells that it is not just a show about media, but a show about politics. And every single season, we've gotten deeper layers, not just of the world, but of the characters. I personally think they're going to stick the landing. Christian Ford has a great question. What's our funniest moment so far? I guess of the season, we can limit it to that.
This season?
He says volcanoes.
Marathon.
Volcano splurge.
Oh yeah, that's a funny bit too. Yeah. But the Mr. Marathon scene, I had to like they did it, and I was like, "That's hilarious!" I watched it again. I was like, "I can't believe they're doing that." That's so funny.
That's personally mine. The destruction of all the actors and celebrities who probably just loved the boys and wanted to be in it.
Trying to think, my favorite. I did laugh very hard at the Deep also being washed up on the beach and covered in oil and saying, "I can't breathe." Like that, the thought that oil gets in his gills and then prevents him from breathing is kind of hysterical.
Yeah.
This is
anything with fish talking to the deep always gets me too. Go ahead, Alex. I'm sorry.
The one moment that I keep thinking about isn't any of the gross moments or the profane moment, but back in the first episode when Homelander and Firecracker are on Truth Bomb and they're talking about the deep fake and they clearly don't know anything about what artificial intelligence is or anything. They're like, I think they used AI, and Homelander's like, yes, it just made me laugh so hard because
freeze there. Look at those fingers. That's not real. You know, it's great. So good.
There's lots of great stuff from Soldier Boy. I also really like when Butcher is pretending to give a shit about Huey's top five or top 10 Billy Joel.
Yeah.
It cuts to Butcher and he's like,
funniest line, maybe funniest line in the history of the show is Buddy the Queen sat on this face.
Yes,
that's
the best one. I was trying to think of what it was. Yes, that's the
and
best
everything
one.
Paul Reiser has done, like the constant name droppings and the Paul really Reiser, dated showbiz references, just great. So good.
His delivery is so good. It had the same cadence to Buddy. You're wearing a cape.
Bucky Barnes, North Carolina, longtime friend of the channel, by the way, good to see you. Give us $2 and said, where is Giancarlo Esposito, Gus Fring death? I'm glad he's not dead yet. I think he'll have a role to play. You think he's got plans for this eventuality, that he's got something stashed away in the tower?
So,
right?
Interesting that this super chat brought it up, because I wanted to pose this about the finale. We've talked so far about like, oh, Homelander should die, Homelander should lose his powers and live out a mortal life. That's like focusing on that one character. I could totally see The Boys being a show and taking its finale from that Stan Edgar monologue from this season, where it's like, you guys think that Homelander is the problem. You guys think that soups are the problem. No, the problem is the media. The problem is that as long these corporations that will survive long last. So I'm almost thinking that the finale is not going to be this hopeful or this dreadful thing. It's going to end with like, and the media wing continues. Like Vought's still around. They lose their Homelander, but bought and any company after is still gonna like it'll end on a news broadcast. It'll end on a news broadcast talking about.
I kind of think that all soups will be eliminated. I think that they'll have some kind of conjunction between Starlight's electrical powers tapping into the grid, Kimiko's powers. I think everybody loses their powers at the end of it. I think it's a definitive finale.
I think Vought 100% survives the finale, and they flip on Homelander like that.
Oh, like
they
that.
Turn on Homelander like that. Yeah.
You know, there's a great moment in the comic. The comic, you guys correct me if I'm wrong here, Alex, but the comic is more like Homelander versus James Stilwell. And James Stilwell, he became Addison Stilwell in the comic, but he's the head of Vought. And Vought has a history of just making shit product. Everything they make just doesn't work well. So for Stilwell, at the end of the comic, when the superheroes are all dead and stuff, there's a scene of him in his office and he starts to cry. And he says faulty products because he knows that their corporation couldn't actually accomplish anything or contribute anything good to the world. I think back on Stan Edgar's moment with Homelander, I think it's in season two when he says, oh, you think we're a superhero company? We're a pharmaceutical company. And that's why I kind of think Vought continues, but superheroes don't.
And
that the world continues as is. Superheroes are a symptom of the disease that plagues us. Yeah. But everything else continues.
I could 100% see a very simple Stan Edgar back at his desk at the top of Vought Tower, turning to Worm or whoever else is there at the pitch meeting, being like, all right, what have you got? What's next?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be what's awesome. Next?
And I think he tries to recruit Starlight. Or, you know, to be the new face or something like that, Ryan. I think Ryan needs to become like the Superman.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, I've been in so many franchises already. I'm in Star Wars and the MCU. I guess I could do a turn in the MCU.
I would like to see, I mean, just while we're talking about character endings, I would like to see from the comics, though it's very different circumstances, Huey and Annie end up together. I think they moved to Scotland or something like that, but just like them finding that ending that Kimiko and Frenchie clearly will not get about running away together, that they will be able to leave this behind, have a life, do something different with their lives, whatever that is, but not be pulled back into the fray.
You just reminded me of my last kill
prediction. Just like in a comic.
This is a contingent. If Stormfront comes back as Mecha Stormfront, Kimiko gets to kill her for killing her brother.
That'd
be good.
I don't think they bring her back just to kill her. I think they bring her back and she's the villain for Ryan in a future or something after they do this prequel show.
If it continues, I don't know. I kind of feel like they might keep it all in the past. I mean, it is a franchise now, so maybe they don't want to eliminate all soups. Maybe Amazon won't let Kripke do that.
I was curious whether or not Aya Cash was even on board for Vought Rising because I didn't see her in any of the like stills or anything that they put out. And I Googled it. Not only is she starring in it, she's also a producer on the show. So she is definitely very committed.
Aya Cash,
who plays
the actress.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She's got to be like really committed to this universe. So, I mean, potentially she could show up. That's why I think it's likely that she shows up in the finale just because they already have an active deal with her. Like, we know she's under contract, she's involved, and she has a vested interest as a producer in making sure that these do well and that people go from The Boys to watching Vought Rising. So we'll see.
The show is too good and too successful for them to, I think, not do more. Like, I think there's totally plans for more than the prequel. They did just, you know, they're not doing season 3 of Gen V. I think that's because they are planning, we are going to do a sequel to The Boys, and it's going to be both a sequel to The Boys and Gen V and to Vought Rising, and they're going to have a new show. I don't think you do it immediately. I think you wait maybe 3-4 years. And then the great thing about The Boys is it's like Deadpool. You can make the meta joke of, we're doing it. Like, I could see in the trailer for
talking about finales,
Whatever the new trailer is, it can be butchered like, we're back or something. We're doing it again.
On the other hand, I do feel like I totally hear what you're saying, and I think you're probably right, but I hope they tie this up conclusively. I hope they give it a satisfying ending where it doesn't necessarily like kill off all the characters, but ties up the situations. But on the other hand, they have the long in development Boys Mexico spinoff. So depending on when that takes place, if
is that still happening?
Starring,
that
Diego
is, Luna. As far as we know, they keep talking about it in interviews. They keep being like, "Yep, and we have Boys Mexico as well." So we don't know where that is.
Interesting,
but But yeah, if this universe keeps going, if they don't shut down all the soups, that allows them to do Boys Mexico, whether Butcher guest stars speaking Spanish or not.
Are we all on the
well,
same
guys,
page?
Well, guys, Ruben Flores, sorry, Colton, real quick, gave us $2, said I hope the final's longer than an hour. And Q-Man said, calling it now, Homelander will return at Avengers Doomsday. We got to wrap it up in just a second, but Colton, I cut you off. Go ahead.
Are we all on the same page that it's very likely not going to end with Homelander just winning? Like, in that being
I don't think so. Like,
no. I don't think they'll do that. Yeah.
I think Homelander loses, but Vought wins.
Yeah.
I agree. That's my I think my final prediction's right there. Annie and Starlight, or Annie and Huey end up together. I think all soups lose powers, but there's like a little bit of Compound V left, so there's a tease that something happens. And like Mike said, Homelander loses, Vought wins. Do you guys have any other rapid fire predictions for in our final seconds here?
I don't think soup is going to lose their powers. I don't think they do that. They don't have time to explain how that would happen.
Well, that's just you shitting violence on my prediction and not saying your prediction.
Well,
so,
but it also would
I don't
cut off
like
the possibility
here,
of these future.
But like, I
it
know you're
the possibility of these future projects, and I like you're right. Like, they started off this series by criticizing cinematic universes, and now they are literally doing one.
You either die a hero.
Here's my two predictions.
MM kill Soldier Boy. If MM does not kill Soldier Boy,
okay, there you go. MM kill Soldier Boy.
I will be upset. He needs to do it.
Alex,
My two predictions, which you haven't touched on yet. I think back Ashley becomes vice president along with Ashley as president, and then the other one is I think Sage follows her heart and goes on a date, and we see her joining Tinder and ultimately like reaching out to other people and joining.
Oh, that would be nice.
She's got to die.
I would like
or die, or she dies.
Or she dies.
She's too evil.
All right, guys. Sadly, we do got to wrap it up right there. She is too evil to survive. She's the most nihilistic, slapstick person.
She's too dangerous to be left alive.
I agree. But we have to wrap it up there. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Mike, you got a show coming up soon?
I got a lot of shows coming up. Follow Keeping Tabs News on YouTube and Instagram, and follow me, Mike M. Comedy, for more. Thank you guys so much for having me on. Ban the Nut Milks.
Mike Colton's like, what the hell? Mike's links are down below. Alex hosted the Comic Book Club podcast. Thanks so much. Appreciate you. And you can find him here on the channel. And Ethan Ng, you can find him all over the place on Screen Crush and on our Discord channel. Thanks so much, Ethan and Colton. Better late than never, man. Thanks for your coverage all season long. I can't wait to see what we're cooking up for the finale.
And I've got this video of Ethan Ng in the back of a RAV4 edging with his little Bieber. And the car park of Boca de Beppo. I just want to say that I've got that.
I don't know what any of those words mean. Thanks so much, man. And we want to hear from you guys down in the comments below. Or you can at me on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, or follow me on Substack. And you can find me on our free-to-join Discord server. Don't forget, merch store membership links are also down below to get 15% off our merch store. If you become a store member at the $5 tier and lots of other fun tiers we're going to be rolling out, including our watch party, X-Men watch party, next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Be there. Or just be somebody who couldn't make it. It's okay, because it's going to live on YouTube. You can watch it whenever you want. And if it's your first time here, please subscribe. Smash that bell for alerts. For Screen Crush, I'm Ryan Airy.